Now in your Bibles this morning, the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Now Moses kept the flock. Thank God for some men that keep the flock. And he kept them of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. They had to wander a lot of things, I'm sure. They came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Great things has been done on this mountain. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. This is not an ordinary angel. This is not a created being, but no doubt it is God Himself appears in this bush. And look what He says. You don't have to prove God. He'll prove Himself. The Bible said, and He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. You ever seen one of them? Set a fire, burn all day, wouldn't burn up. You know, dead cedar burned real bright a little bit, then it burns out. But what got Moses' attention, he'd seen a lot of bushes on fire, but he never had seen one wouldn't burn up. And that reminds me of the church. The church has been burning for years, but she ain't burned up, honey. Jesus is coming. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why? The bush is not burnt. I can tell you why. A lot of folks get burnt out. They never keep the fire stirring in their heart. And we need to realize that we need to fan the flame every chance that we get to keep our heart and home fires a-burning. When the Lord saw that He turned aside to see, God called unto Him out of the midst of the bush. And He said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. Look what He says. And He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, above what He done said, He's fixing to say something else. Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I want to say and insert something right there before I get to preaching this morning. Life's hard enough without inviting things to come. Taskmasters are hard on our lives. There's so many things we've reached out for, and it has become masters in our life, and they hold us down, and they burden us and bother us. He said, I'm come down. Aren't you glad that God came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land, a large to a flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians compress them. Come now. Therefore, and I'll send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together. Lord, we thank You for the Spirit of God that has encouraged our hearts this morning through the singing. Lord, there are many needs in people's lives that have needs. And Lord, I pray for them today. I pray that You would be God to them that only You can be.
Help us in the preaching now. Use us to be a blessing. And I'll be careful to honor you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to look this morning in Exodus chapter 2 and 3. And I want to preach on an old fault found out of chapter 3. And you'll find that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I want to preach on this simple Bible subject this morning on God don't beat around the bush. God don't beat around the bush. You ever got around anybody and said, well, what were they saying? And you left and said, well, he is just beating around the bush. But you know, in our Bible, in Exodus 2 and 3, is God began to deal with me about this yesterday evening and this morning. I've noticed some things that God don't beat around the bush about. God, in spite of what America thinks, God don't beat around the bush about His Moses. Now look in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1, we pick up the story of Moses. You'll find him, first of all, he's by the riverside. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to him the wife of the daughter of a Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein, she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along, and here's the word, by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now you find Moses, first of all, by the riverside. Here Pharaoh had sent an ordinance out in the land. He purposed to kill every male Hebrew child. He had told all the women that was delivering the babies in that day, when a male child is born of the Hebrew women, cast them into the Nile. Throw them into the river. Let me tell you, the devil has been trying to kill babies a long time. Abortion's just not come up on the scene, honey. The devil has been against your children for a long time. And so we see here Moses by the riverside. So now, as Moses is put in this ark, oh, my goodness, the prominence and the purpose of God had Moses hid in the river's flags. People say, well, what about the alligators? God give them all lockjaw, because there was somebody that God was going to use to set His children free. Aren't you glad that God has put a Moses in your life to help you and take you toward the promised land this morning? Oh my, we find Moses by the riverside. And then I noticed something in my Bible that I'd never noticed. In Exodus 2 and verse 11, you'll find Moses now by the wayside. Came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Read your commentators' essays, about 40 years old now. He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. He spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Watch your Bible. He looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. You find Moses by the riverside, but now you find him by the wayside, honey. When you go to looking this way, and you go to looking that way, it won't be long. You'll be by the wayside. You go to looking this way and that way, you'll get the one to hurt somebody. Jesus told us to look straight ahead. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I didn't watch Fox News before I came preach this morning, but I am a fan of Fox News. I watch them because I love the way they drive liberals crazy. But I didn't watch them this morning. If I did, I'd have been watching this way and that way, and I'd been so mean you couldn't have stood to preaching today. But I want to say we find Moses, God don't beat around the bush about His Moses. We find Him by the riverside. We find Him by the wayside. But now look at Him. We find Him and pick Him up in verse number 15. Now when when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Heard what thing? Well, he killed one of Pharaoh's boys, a taskmaster that was hard on his Hebrew brothers. So he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now we find him not by the riverside nor by the wayside, but now we have him sitting by the well side. You know, it doesn't matter how far that you've been out to the wayside, honey. If you'll spend some time by God's well side, you can bring restoration to your spirit and your heart and your soul. Can I tell you, failures is not final. Yes, Moses sinned against God, but I'll guarantee you there's a God in heaven this morning. If you'll look His way by faith, He can forgive you of all of your sins and put you down by the well side and let you do great things in this hour. Oh, we find Him by the well side. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came and drew water. They filled the troughs of water, their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Thank God we find Moses by the wellside standing up watering the flock. If you'll read your Bible, these shepherds were no doubt hireling priests. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of religious boys in America today that's quit watering the flock. But thank God for the Moseses that are stand up by the wellside and water the flock of God. Find him by the wellside. When nobody else would stand up, Moses stood up. And he watered the flock of God. Give us men that will stand up by the well sides again. That the wells of old time religion has been covered. Thank God for some men that will stand up and water the flock by the well side. So we find Moses by the riverside, by the wayside, by the wellside. But now we find him in chapter 3 and verse 1 by the flock side. Moses kept the flock. And let me tell you something, that's a lot greater responsibility than what people know. I know things about people sitting here that I can't talk about. I know problems and heartaches, and I want to say this, when you see part of the flock come to the altar, come pray with them. Come help them. Come be a blessing. Come be an encouragement to them. Oh my goodness, we find him now by the flock side. God had Moses hid for this hour. And let me tell you now, as we find him by the flock side, he's taking care of the flock. He kept them. And then he led the flock to the backside of the desert. No longer is he by the well side, not by the flock side, but we find him now on the back side. You know, just because great things aren't happening don't mean that God's not doing nothing. God is special to people that's on the back side. A lot of people want the limelight, but let me tell you, some of the greatest Christians we've never met, they've never been on the front side. They're on the back side of life, the back side of things. But God's not forgot about His children that's on the back side. For soon we find Him now leaving the back side, and now we find Him on the mountain side. The Bible said He
came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Here is where the great prophet Elijah called down fire and consumed the sacrifice. Here was a holy mountain. God led him around the backside that he may just get up into the mountain of God. And it takes me to my last thought about this point. Not only do we find him by the mountainside, but now he's by the Lord's side. Isn't it amazing how God has led you through life to get you to His side? That's an amazing thing to me. How God has allowed me to live when He allowed others to die. You say, well, preacher, I've got not much to thank God about. What about them folks you went to school with there in hell this morning? They never cried out to the Savior. But God has showed you favor. And you ought to thank Him every chance that you get this morning. God had protected His steps all the way from the well side to the back side, from the flock side. Now the mountainside, now God's got him right where He wants him. You say, why do you say that? It takes me to my second point this morning. God don't beat around the bush about His men. And I'm going to tell you, God don't hold His men lightly. I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and I'm going to give an account of everything that's been done in my life, whether it's been good or it's been bad. But number two, I'm going to stand in places none of you will have to stand. I'll have to stand and give an account for the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. That's why there ain't no committee putting nobody in here preaching. That's why ain't no committee going to run things. The Holy Ghost will run things, and it'll always be right. Glory to God. You say, Brother Ken, where do you get such Bible? I'm glad you asked me. I need to read it this morning because I don't want to forget about it myself. The book of Hebrews, the Bible teaches us. Chapter number 13:7. Remember them, or respect. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow and consider the end of their conversation. Verse 17, Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and that they must give an account. They may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We're all going to stand before God and give an account, but I'm going to stand in a place where none of you will have to stand. I'm going to give an account for this church house and this ministry. And I'm going to tell you, God don't take His man lightly. I'm going to say today, God don't beat around the bush about His Moses. Verse 2, God don't beat around the place about His meeting place. Look what He says now in verse 2. God gets Moses right where He's been wanting to get him for 40 years. All the way from a little babe floating down that Nile in that ark that his mama placed him there. Turned him loose. And ain't this just how good God is? Some of you that don't know about your Bible. Pharaoh had told that all the Hebrew male children be drowned in the Nile. But she seen he was a proper child, a goodly child, and his mother would not destroy him. So you know what the Bible teaches us? She moved by faith. And she trusted God, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And she placed him in this basket in the Nile. And God had him protected. Pharaoh's daughter come by, and Moses said, what? And she said, go get that young man. And that's one of the Hebrews' children. She brought him home, and Moses' mother, she said, go get one of the Hebrew women that can raise this young'un. And isn't that something? And the providence of God, his mother had released him to God, and God brought her something back so precious and so special. So she got to raise her own child. You said, how do you know that? Because she taught Moses about her God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11 that Moses would rather suffer with the children of God than enjoy the treasures of Egypt. It does matter how you raise your children. Raise them up in the nurture. answer and admonition of the Lord. It never left him. And so now he is raised in the palace. Some says he's a grown child. His mother had put the customs of God in his heart. Turned him back loose to Pharaoh's daughter, and she raised him up in the great king's house. Moses said, I don't belong here. I want to be with God's people. And so we find him now. He'd done killed one of them, and stepdaddy got mad at him. And so Moses running for his life. By the well side, by the flock side, the mountain side, but now God's got him at the Lord's side. I notice this. You ever notice this right here? Now, God don't beat around the bush about his meeting place. Look what happens. The Bible said he came to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And here it is. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Look what the Lord does. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. What's going on, preacher? God don't beat around the bush about his meeting place. Aren't you glad that there's a bush burning at Liberty Baptist Church that God's still calling your name out of? Moses, and the Bible said when he saw this bush, it would not burn. It got his attention and he turned to God. I wonder what God's going to use to get your attention. Will it be a baby in a funeral home? Will it be by mom and daddy's casket? I wonder what God's, how he's going to get your attention that you turn aside to look at him. I'm glad God gets our attention at his meeting place. Moses. Now I want you to see something I found looking in my Bible. God don't beat around the bush about his Moses. God don't beat around the bush about the meeting place. The Bible said this bush was not consumed. May Liberty Baptist Church burn in such a way that it will never burn out. You know why churches are dying in America? Because people are killing them. You know why churches go dead? Because people get distracted by the world and they quit coming to their local church. We got to keep fanning the flame. And therefore, God don't beat around the bush about his meeting place. He spoke to Moses where he's met God. Now, God don't beat around the bush about his meeting place. But number three, God don't beat around the bush about his manifestation. Look in verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. Now look in verse 5, you Bible students. I want to show something to you in the Word of God. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And isn't that amazing? God said, don't come near. How sad that is. Don't come near because this is holy ground. I mean, you've got to have an understanding. He said, I want you to realize that you're Moses and I'm God. Don't come near me. So this is what he says. Take your shoes off. Now, in this custom of the day, people would take their shoes off for respect. I'm going to tell you, God is to still to be respected. We ought to respect His holiness. We ought to respect His house of God. You ought to teach your children to respect the church house. Don't throw their trash down. Don't throw their gum down. Keep God's house the prettiest place in town. That's the way God intends it. It's a separated place. You don't pull the world in here and keep God in the midst. God meets with His people.
that lives in our hearts. So as he took his shoes off, it showed respect. I want to respect him, don't you? And then I think when he took his shoes off, it showed reliance. Have any of you ever tried to go out and do any work with your shoes off? Matter of fact, when I was a little old kid, a boy, it was nothing for me to ride a bicycle barefooted. We had a gravel driveway. It's nothing for me to run across that driveway barefooted. But now you try it. You say, how come God told him to take his shoes off? Well, not only does it show respect, but it showed reliance. You see, you can't do things for God walking in your shoes. You've got to trust God to do them for you, through you. I'm reminded Jesus said, without Him, you can do nothing. And so as Moses presented his shoes, there it showed respect, it showed reliance. But then I think as Moses took his shoes off, I want to say maybe it brought relief. Have you ever put on a pair of shoes that wore so good? I mean, they're real comfy. I got flat feet. I can't wear cowboy boots much. It's like there's a golf ball in the arch of my foot. Why? I bought me a pair, give them to Brother Mark Cooper. I wore them about 10:30 one morning. I thought I was going to the ER. Somebody say amen. Brother Mark said, I wish you'd buy some more of them boots. I'm glad you flat-footed. Amen. But I've noticed when I get something in my shoe, and it can be just a little bitty thing, it drives me crazy. I mean, the size of a BB, you ain't going to walk far. Wouldn't it be good if God's people would take their shoes out and knock the dirt off the inside and the things that are keeping us walk the way He wants us to walk and realize that God will let us take and clean our shoes out this morning. There's nothing no more miserable than a child of God walking around with sin in your life. Nothing no more miserable. I've noticed this the day I got saved. This flesh didn't get saved. The Spirit of God came to live in me. The Bible says I was sealed to the day of redemption. That's not like a mason jar. That's a stamp that was put on me by God that only God can see. Therefore, I've noticed when I have sin in my life and I do something wrong, you don't have to tell me. The one that lives in me tells me, and I don't like it when it's in my life, do you? And I'm telling you, we ought to empty our shoes out and get the things that are bothering us in our walk for God this morning. But I want to say something. God don't beat around the bush about His Moses. He loves His preachers. I'm glad I pastor people that love their preacher. And I mean that. God don't hold it lightly. God don't beat around the bush about His meeting place. A place here where the bush burns with fire and God gets our attention, calls our name to bring us help. Matter of fact, He didn't call Moses' name to hurt him, but to help him. Now look how the story changes. You ever notice this, the Word of God, you that study the Bible? You ever notice this? I've preached this thing 15 times probably, but I never have noticed this right here. Verse 5. God don't beat around the bush about His Moses, about His meeting place, but God don't beat around the bush about His membership. Look what He says, verse 5. He said, draw not nigh hither. But now in verse number 10, He says, come now. What happened? What's the difference in come not hither? And now God says, come. Can I tell you, I'm glad when you meet God and you turn aside to see Him by faith and you start living for Him, no longer is it draw not thither, but He says, come. I'm glad this morning that as a child of God that I've met Him, now I can draw near. Aren't you glad as a child of God now that you've met God by faith? God don't tell you to go. He tells you to come. And I'm glad I've got a God that's interested in me this morning. Matter of fact, I don't know if you caught it or not, but I'll show you how interested it is. When he called out to Moses, he said something to him that really got my attention. He said in verse number 6, he don't beat around the bush about his membership. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. What did God just say there? He said, your forefathers died, but they're still living. I was their God when they was living, and I was their God when they was dying, and I'm their God this morning. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Aren't you glad that what God does forever. I'm glad He's got us in safekeeping this morning. Hey, we repent from those that have died in the Lord. He's still their God this morning. I'm glad I serve a God that will keep me after death. I am the God of thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, God don't beat around the bush about His Moses. God don't beat around the bush about His meeting place. Miss Emily, I want you to come this morning. God don't beat around the bush about His manifestation. God wants us to realize He's holy. We must show Him respect. Show Him faith. Now, isn't this amazing? I noticed in studying this passage out this morning, and I've never noticed this in Luke's Gospel, and I want to share this with you. He said this in Luke 20 and 37. He said, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he's not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto Him. That's in Mark 20 and 37. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Ghost had the gospel writer to write it down when he told Moses, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can I ask you today, as your preacher, before we go home, what's it going to get? What's it going to take to get your attention? Moses turned aside to see, and God called. You know that thief on the cross, Brother Mike? God got his attention. He turned aside to see, and God called unto him. Brother Adam, I sure am glad it was a time in my life when God allowed me to turn aside. He called me. Honey, I was preaching this week and God brought on my heart and mind. Remember that day you was stirring them beans in that pot on the stove and the Holy Ghost spoke to you, you're going to be a preacher's wife. God had had me turned aside to see. You ever been turned aside from what you was doing? Living life. Yet you were under taskmasters and bondage, but God allowed something to turn you. I'm glad He turned me. I'm ever indebted that He turned me. You say, Brother Ken, why would you preach nearly every night of your life? Because I get to. And I want to.
Renee came back and told me something. She's at a conference this week, heard a man of God preach, and she's made this statement. She said this man of God got up at the conference and said this week, he's the pastor of a large church in Atlanta. He said, "It doesn't bother me that my people don't come to church." Now listen to her. Then he said, "It bothers me that my people don't want to come to church." God's a God you can trust this morning. What you need in your life? Did you come just because it's 11 o'clock Sunday, or did you come with a need in your life today? I'm going to tell you something. If God's got you turned aside, you'll be able to hear Him. What's He saying? I told Renee this week one night, I'd preached and things went okay. I'd been off the pulpit and I seen a little girl come. She kneeled. And I remember this, long as I live, I look, she's a little blonde-headed girl, she's all by herself. There's a few praying on the corners, and I did this, and this is what I said. I said, "If this don't touch your heart, you can't be touched." Her pastor come to me on Wednesday night and said, "Brother Ken, you know that little girl that come bowed in front of the pulpit Tuesday night?" So she got home, told her mom and daddy the Lord saved her at the base of that pulpit, and called me and told me. And I just want to tell you that. Then Friday night, got on preaching, fixing a drive back here. There's a gray-haired gentleman looked at me from the altar and he said, "Preacher, come here." He said, "My grandboy wants to be saved." And I told some of you this morning, I bowed on the altar. That little boy laid my hand on his back. You could feel his little heart beating plumb out of the back of his shirt. The Lord saved him. You know why? Because the Lord had him turn aside to see. Has the Lord ever got your attention? Do you want to be saved this morning? You can be, because Christ loves you. He died for you. He paid the price for you. And everybody sitting in this building that's ever been saved, it's been just like Moses. They've turned aside. Now, if you need help this morning, you can come, Miss Emily. You sing. Our altar's open. Whatever you need, I want to.